Thank you so much for gracing me with your presence. This is the third episode of Speak Your Life podcast. Somebody give it up for me, okay? And if you're rocking with me, make sure you click that subscribe button so that I know it's real, like your host. Really cool? And I know some of you may still be getting to know me and you're like, I don't even know if I like this girl. So if you're still feeling me out, I understand. Take your time. I know you'll make the right decision. Just to share a little bit about my background, I am from Montgomery, Alabama. That is where I grew up. And most summers, my mother would send me and my siblings to spend the summer with my grandmother and other cousins in a small town by the name of Fayette, Alabama. If anyone were to ask me what I remembered most about my grandmother, I would say I remember that she was a woman that prayed. I remember that when my grandmother could barely walk without assistance, she would need someone either helping her or she would have a walker that she used to assist her. She would still get down on her knees and pray. I remember the times when I would assist her to her bedroom and I would help her get down in front of her bed to pray and to help her up so she could go to sleep for the night. That image will forever be ingrained in my mind. And when I was preparing to talk about today's topic, I knew I wanted to start with that opener because I wanted to talk about how I wanted to be remembered as a woman of faith. That is how I wanted my grandchildren to remember me and my legacy. But when I started studying this topic and I had my scriptures and I was talking to God and I was praying and I was saying, God, you know, connect the dots. Where do you want to take me? I was kind of shocked where he took me because I knew I wanted to talk about faith, but he took me on a direction to talk about faith that I had not even considered. So yes, God took me on a completely different path. And whenever I am talking about a subject, I like to start with the definition. I believe that this allows us to go deeper into the discussion. And I see a lot of times in today's time, we say words and we don't use them in the proper context. And I'm guilty of this myself. I'll say the wrong word, mispronounce it, my husband will correct me. And I'm like, you know what I'm talking about. However, words have meaning. Matthew 12:36-37 cautions us by saying, but I say unto you that every idle word that you shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So yes, today we are exploring faith. Let's look at what Webster says about faith. It says that faith is having the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. To have faith in God, I must have complete trust or confidence in Him. If I'm talking about having faith in my husband, it means that I have complete confidence and trust in Him. How does that resonate with you? In my opening, I said I wanted to be known as a woman of faith. But let's really explore, what does that even actually mean? I often hear people say that this person is a man of faith, or this is my brother or sister in the faith. We have relegated that to mean that that person is a Christian. That person believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And although this is correct, you are my sister in the faith because we have complete trust and confidence in the belief of Jesus Christ. I ask, are you also operating as a person that can receive the complete trust or confidence of someone? Girl, I have something to tell you. Please don't tell anyone. Am I talking to my sister in faith? So-and-so husband is so fine. If she don't know what to do with him, I do. Is this my sister in faith? She walk in and act like she can't even talk to anybody. She thinks she all that. Am I in the room with my sister in faith? I know you believe in him, but can people also believe in you? I need to know that you are my brother and my sister in faith. Y'all, I promise you, what I asked God what my topics need to be, and he gave me faith for this episode. I only thought about having faith in God, believing him and trusting him completely. I never even considered the thought of having trust or confidence in my brothers and sisters in Christ. But during my study time, this is where the Lord took me. Hezekiah Walker has this beautiful song. This beautiful song is called I Need You to Survive. And one of the lines in the song says, "You are important to me. I need you to survive." I went back and forth about how I really wanted to connect this and bring this topic to life when God took me on this path of this unconventional conversation about faith. And an incident that happened in my life when I was attending the church that I was raised in was brought back to my remembrance. So I want to share this story with you today. This is a story of how I was ambushed by a married deacon at my church. My pastor had divided the congregation into groups, and each group had a corresponding deacon and deaconess that was assigned to them. The idea was if you needed anything minor, you would of course talk to your deacon or deaconess. If it was something bigger, they would bring the pastor in as they saw fit. I was having trouble with my car and I was looking for a reliable mechanic. So I said, you know what? I'm going to utilize the system that my church set up and I'm going to reach out to my deacon. He said he was available, and when I got off work to bring the car to him, the address he gave me was to an apartment building. Now, I really don't know this man, and I didn't know his wife. I only saw them at church. And I did not know that the address that he gave me was to this single male cousin's apartment. I knock on the door, he lets me in. I was so stupid and naive, y'all. You know, I'm thinking, this is my brother in Christ, this is my deacon. He tells me to come in, have a seat on the couch. He offers me something to drink, and I say yes. While I'm sitting there, I'm taking in the decor, and I'm realizing far too slowly that this isn't right. The next thing I know, he's sitting beside me, and he puts the drink down in front of me on the coffee table. He asks me, "Do you know how beautiful you are?" Y'all, I'm just like speechless. You know, he says to me, "I called you over here because I wanted to talk to you. I could have gave you the information about the mechanic over the phone." I felt so incredibly stupid, and I'm realizing that no one knows where I am. I'm at this place with this really big guy. His wife isn't here. I'm here by myself. Then he grabs my face and he says, "What would you do if I kissed you right now?" I can feel the tears welling up in my eyes, and I whisper to him and I say, "Please don't." By that time, his cousin comes into the door. He lets go of my face and he introduces us. I just mumble like, "Nice to meet you." I grab my things and I leave as quickly as I can. Because this is my brother in faith, right? This is my deacon, right? This is someone that I put complete trust and confidence in. I thought I was his sister in Christ. I thought our shared belief meant his intentions were honorable and that I could trust him. If I were a weaker vessel, this would have discouraged me from going to church. But because I had lived a life in so much darkness before God, that idea never crossed my mind. I've seen so many Christian podcasts of people talking about their coming back to church after being gone for decades because of church hurt. And I think maybe that's why God sent me on this detour trip to talk about faith. Because yes, we need to work on our faith with God, but we also got to work on our faith in each other. Think about, if you're a person who is listening to this and you're a Christian, I want you to canvas your mind and your heart and ask the question, have I ever put myself in the position where I was responsible for someone's church hurt? Think about you as a Christian, you're on your job, if you're in a leadership position, do you make it the atmosphere terrible for those who work under you? If you're not in a leadership position, are you that person at the job who likes to gossip and to stir up strife about others at work that makes it hard for them when they come to work? You know, are you the type of person that you're policing everybody's attire when they come to church and you make people feel uncomfortable when really they're just doing the best that they can? You've made up in your mind that they're not, you know? You've made up in your mind that they're not, and you're making it hard for them, and they're doing the best they can. They're trying to come to Jesus. One of the things that I love about Jesus calling the disciples, and he tells them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What I love about that is because he's telling them, I'm going to show you how to catch people. He never talked to them about cleaning them up. He just said, I'm going to teach you how to catch them. So if we catch them and show them the path to Christ, y'all, please, please let him do the cleaning. He'll do it. He will do it. Whatever convictions that need to be brought, whatever growth that needs to be brought, he will do it. We have to get ourselves in the position to love one another. We have to stop policing one another. We have to stop making this life harder than it really is to one another. Am I saying that we're not supposed to be holding each other accountable? Yes, we are supposed to be holding each other accountable, but we're all supposed to be doing it with the word of God. Everybody that you are, you know, holding accountable and having these really terrible conversations with, a lot of times God didn't lead you to say anything to these people. That's you. That's you. If I'm struggling and I need to talk to someone about something that I'm struggling with, I'm looking for a sympathetic and a private ear to help me deal with my situation. And then you go back and you tell everybody what I talked to you about. Where is my sister in the faith? Where is my sister in the faith? Because you're pushing me out. And sister, I need you, and you're pushing me out. If I'm coming to you as a, Lord, I'm getting emotional. If I'm coming to you as a young girl who's trying to make it on her own, and all I need is a mechanic to get my car fixed, where's my brother in the faith? Where are you at, brother? Because I need you. Because I need you. You're important to me, and I need you to survive. And when I was studying this topic, I wanted to talk about the faith in God so bad, but God really pricked my heart and he stirred me to speak about how we treat each other, how we treat each other in the body of Christ, and how we treat the people in the world we want to save. We are all God's children in the faith. It tells us that in Galatians 3:26, and how we treat each other is a sign that we are Christ. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. We have become so comfortable with disliking and mistreating each other. Discourse is a benefit of the enemy. There is power in us having confidence in one another. Matthew 18:18-19 says that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, and you shall ask, it will be done for you by my Father, which is in heaven. So there is a benefit. There is a benefit of us coming together. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against wisdom. So the Bible even says that if you choose to be on your own and not seek the company of other people, you're raging against wisdom, because there's so much that we learn from each other. There's so much we give by building community together, when we edify each other, when we uplift each other. At the end of every podcast, I like to give a word of encouragement in scriptures that will allow you to speak your life into existence. I believe that the word of God is a catalyst, and with it brings love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, understanding, abundance, power, just too many benefits to name. So Lord, I thank you. Thank you for dealing with my heart today. Thank you for highlighting how I treat my brothers and sisters in the faith. I ask for forgiveness if I have been a stumbling block to anyone or have caused anyone to retreat from you. I pray that I'm a credible witness and a safe path to your loving kindness and forgiving grace. Purge me, purge my mind, my heart, remove what is not of you. John 15:12 gives a commandment that we love one to another. Help us to walk out this instruction. 1 John 4:21-22 sends a swift correction, reminding us that we cannot love God if we do not love our fellow man. Help us to walk in love. We know that there's a benefit to building the community and kingdom of God. There's power when we have confidence in one another. Matthew 18:20 reminds that where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be in the midst. We know that the enemy benefits from our strife and separation. United with the word of God, we conquer much. Deuteronomy 32:30 states, one can chase away 1,000, but two will put 10,000 to flight. We will not reject wisdom, but embrace one another with love, grace, and mercy in your son Jesus' name. Thank you for sticking with me to the end. I enjoyed our time together as I always do, and I will see you next Friday at 5 p.m. Take care.